Hello, welcome to the True Hoop Podcast with me, Gerard Hector, and fresh off of his return from jury duty, Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
Relieved. Yeah. I wasn't selected. I was Vardired out of even being selected to have a chance to be selected. It was actually a very positive, it was 5 hours of boredom, but very lovely jury waiting room, super organized. Everyone's very nice to each other. When you're as down on the country as you and I are, you find any kernel of gold and rejoice. And it was a very nice civic experience. I've done it before. It was okay. Yeah.
I would love to see Vladir for when they ask David questions. So, sir, do you have any reason that why you wouldn't? Yes, I hate America. Okay. Juror number 10 is excused.
I don't hate Americans. In fact, to be honest, I have served before and it was a nightmare experience. Yeah. And I heard you and Henry joking about it. I was picked as foreman. I wasn't happy about it. It turns out.
Really? We thought you would be.
No, I'm happy to be a follower too, as you know from this show. I do have opinions, but I take direction very well, and probably why I've been married happily for 32 plus years. And this was a bad experience, but I should never have been selected. The guy represented himself, and when asked. So they don't have a problem with that. I raised my hand. Yeah, my dad was an attorney my whole life. Like, I know what it means when no one will represent you. But the guy was so fucking dumb, he didn't realize that he should have kicked me off. They took the first nine people that walked in the room. He didn't kick anybody off. So it was a bad experience. But this time, like I said, it was I didn't want to serve, but I told Henry,
yeah,
with my dumb luck, it's going to be some minority being accused of some crime. And I'm going to say, fuck it. I've got to stand up. And say yes. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, if I thought someone was guilty, I would always vote my conscience. But
yeah, for sure.
I don't believe that's how the average person votes anymore. Or in the case of a jury selection, I don't know that they always are thinking the right things. But anyway, I didn't have to do a damn thing. And so all I've been doing is watching NBA and G League and a little World Cup, which we'll get to later.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to World Cup later. I was joking with Henry, as you heard on the show. I was like, what if David gets called in on a capital case? Oh, my God.
I honestly don't know what the laws are, Gerard, but like, I'm an independent businessman. I can't afford, I can't be gone.
Right. I can't be out for 2 months.
Well, I've read the laws. Like, if you could hire someone to replace you, well, I can't do that. I can have people help me, but they can't be me.
Right.
They just can't. Right. I have 30 plus years of experience doing something that not everyone has. So. Right. But again, hopefully it'll be a long time. I think I've been called 4 times and I'm 57.
Oh,
so I think it's.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I've only had to serve once. The other 3 times I didn't get picked. I'm hoping that it doesn't happen again for a long time. When I'm 70, I'm opting out day one because you can do that when you're 70, at least in Florida anyway. Wherever I'm living, if it's even in America, I'm opting out. I've served my time.
I like it. Speaking of civic duties and, you know, larger contextual issues, the Lakers won last night, but we'll. Not really talk about that much. LeBron had some interesting comments after his media availability. As those of you who know and follow basketball, LeBron grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan, which is always interesting when you don't live in Dallas. You live in Akron, Ohio. But, you know, I get it. You know, popular teams, whatever. LeBron stopped being a Cowboys fan. I want to say either this year or last year, he'd made a thing about, like, not supporting the Cowboys anymore. Mainly around things that the team was doing as it related to.
Was it the protest?
I want to say.
Yeah. I think it was the George Floyd protest on the, not George Floyd, Kaepernick too.
Colin Kaepernick, yes. Around Jerry Jones's, the Cowboys owner's feelings about that. As those of you may know, a picture surfaced from the 1950s.
Yeah, 57, I think.
When school desegregation was happening in the South. And a picture of a teenage Jerry Jones at a high school standing with a bunch of other white kids at the time in front of their school, not being pleased that their school is being integrated, right? And allowing black children in. It's a still black and white photo, so you have no idea what Jerry Jones was thinking or doing. He's just standing there. It's all you see. You see him standing there with the mobs of white children. And I want to be clear about something, by the way, on black and white photos. I'm saying that it's black and white because that's what it was. 1957 was not that long ago. Okay. Like that, I mean, it just wasn't, right? That is recent history. There are people very much alive.
My mom was a senior in high school and she's still alive now. Yeah.
There you go. Who are around in the 1950s.
She went to college next year. Yeah.
Correct. So this is not some like, oh, but that happened a million years ago. No, it didn't. Anyway, so there was some pushback about that, and a little bit of scuttlebutt around the photo on the Talking Head shows. But LeBron, in his comments, said, you know, I'm surprised that none of you all asked me about the Jerry Jones picture. And he said, and then a reporter, I think, was about to chime in. He said, hold on. He said, because when it was the Kyrie situation, every single day somebody came in here and asked me, asked everybody about it and talked about it. And when I hear Kyrie say, you know, I know who I am and, you know, I want that same energy when there are other things of import, you know, this is LeBron felt like in this moment, this was an opportunity for media to ask questions about it. They did not. And this is his point about keeping that same energy. And now the conversation is going to be, well, LeBron, but that's the different sport. Those people don't care. This, that, and the third. Here's how I see it. Multiple things can be true at once. Of course, they're going to ask you about Kyrie Irving, LeBron. One, he was a former teammate. Two, he is a current player in the NBA. Three, he is the vice president of the National Basketball Players Association. So, yes, they're going to ask you about it. That can be true. However, it can also be a situation where LeBron is correct in feeling that it seems like whenever we, and when he says we, meaning black people, do something, our feet are held to the fire. We must constantly be made to apologize and do all these things, yet it isn't the same for other groups of people, in this case, white people. And that can also be true, that the standards that black people and black athletes, in this case, are held to are different than white people. Both things can be true simultaneously. And I think for me, how I see this, it's a very complicated issue, David, in that when the Kyrie situation happened, it seemed as though there was a collective belief, and you know, rightfully so, that anti-Semitism is wrong and everyone should come out and say they are against say they're not anti-Semitic and also disavow anything like that, right? That is a clear-cut case. But many black people do not feel the same way when it relates to racism, right? That people don't also agree in the same manner. And this is the keep your energy feeling that LeBron was referring to in that instance. Now, the difference, of course, is that LeBron, as an NBA player, is required to do media. NFL owners ain't required to do shit, right? They don't got to talk to anybody. They don't have to answer any questions. Now, Jerry is your atypical owner in that he loves doing media. Has his own radio show. Loves being out in public and just talking. And you can actually ask. Jerry's like, oh, I'll talk about that photo. It's fine, right? Like, that's just who Jerry is. And he's a man of his time. I will say that. But the accountability, right? So the question should be for media people. Don't ask LeBron about that. Go ask other owners when you're at the owners' meetings. Hey, what'd you guys think of that Jerry Jones photo, right? Do the same kind of thing where you're consistently asking about things that you ask players of. Do the same for the owners when they have those availabilities. Again, they don't often have availability because they don't have to speak. That's the beauty of being in charge. I don't got to do anything. But when there are owners meetings, which NFL reporters do go to, that is your opportunity. Don't just ask about CBA and all that. No. Do the same thing where you drive the point home and ask and do you apologize, Jerry? Why not? Like the same things you ask of players, demand them of everybody. You always say, David, decency, right? That's not hard, right? And if we demand that one level of people be decent, well, everyone should be decent.
The only thing I'll add to all the things you said is LeBron has that super special platform. And I don't want him to phrase it as, why didn't you ask me? I want him to tell us his thoughts. He did nothing wrong by phrasing this way. I just think it's even better. Just you're allowed to opine on it. You can say, you know what, I'm off that guy because of his choice to basically potentially punish his players for protesting peacefully, an incredibly egregious thing like officers of our government murdering unarmed black men. And then I see this latest thing, and then give us your. I don't even know what his opinion is. I am curious. Just as I was curious as what your opinion is. I don't necessarily, I definitely don't value his opinion more than yours on this subject, but I think it's an interesting thing. He does have a lot of followers. Yeah. I like athletes using their platform as a pulpit. I potentially like it. I'm the opposite. of the Fox News commentators who don't want them to. Remember, I grew up in my house with Muhammad Ali was right. a very, very revered celebrity. And my mm-hmm. dad grew up Republican. He changed years later. But he greatly respected both my parents. For whatever reason, they loved Muhammad Ali. So I was reading his books when I was in middle school. He was just a big deal in our household. So, and we know about Bill Russell, like Jim Brown. Mm-hmm. I can't get enough of that. And even if I don't agree with their opinion, just like when celebrities sometimes right. opine, I often will say, well, what do I care what they think? They're just celebrities. But if they're connected to a cause, then I prefer to listen and either agree or disagree. But I'm glad they use it, and don't just do it to sell perfume. You know, if that's what you want to do, fine. But you're not going to gain my interest in more right. important topics. And very quickly on the subject of I know nothing about Jerry Jones. I'm not sure I've watched the team play 10 downs of football in 25 years. But in fact, I'm sure I haven't watched him at all since Emmitt Smith retired. I was a big Emmitt Smith fan, at least when he left to go to the Cardinals. So, I don't know how Jerry Jones was back then. I care to some degree, but I care a lot more about what's happened since, which to me is where I think it really could have gotten interesting. If LeBron brings it up like he did, and we start, I know nothing about what minorities who've worked for him say. I'm curious now, because quite frankly, even if that picture showed him with an angry face, and we've seen some of those pictures of white people with angry faces, and you know what they're yelling. You know what they're yelling, even in these still photos when they were in high school. Even if he did that, but had since disavowed his former beliefs, like I have, when I used to think marriage should only be for straight people when I was 22, I thought that. And when I thought women shouldn't be allowed to fight in our army because I was an idiot. That's 30 some odd years ago. I've not just changed my views, but I'm public about it. And I'm happy to argue on behalf of my new opinions to anyone I can. If Jerry Jones has been a really good voice for progress, great. But when you side with the national anthem over unarmed black men being murdered by cops, you're suspect. You're very suspect. So again, I'm not necessarily judging people who didn't break the law 50, 40, 30, 20 years ago, but it makes them suspect, and let's see how they're doing now. And people like LeBron, keep opening it up. Hold the media accountable. Listen, if the media is allowed to say, Gerard, listen, like what you just said, he's an old white dude. We're not covering his sport. We never thought about him for one second. If it was the guy that owned the Suns or another different story, okay. But LeBron, do it the next time too. Make the media say, you know what? No, we're not going to cover that. We're going to cover this, this, and this, and here's why. Because you'll catch them at some point when they really did screw up. And we should hold the media accountable, just like the media is holding others accountable, as they should.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, on the Jerry Jones front, look, he was a teenager in 1957. I'm a believer in none of us should be judged by our worst moment. I don't even know if that's Jerry Jones' worst moment. Yeah. I have zero idea. What I do know is, I think it was 15 at the time. Think back to your 15-year-old high school self. Some major event is going down at school. Whether you are directly involved or not, where are you?
You're there.
At that thing. Right? That's just what you do when you're that age. Yeah. You are there. Now, a 15-year-old boy in Arkansas during that period in our history, it is safe to assume he likely might have held prejudiced or racist views. That is very likely given the time frame and that's very possible. We don't know because he hasn't addressed or said anything. And to your point, David, that matters less than, well, how does Jerry feel now?
Yeah.
Right? And not just about guys who play on his football team, right? About actual equality, right, among all people.
What politicians is he supporting? That matters.
That's what matters more now than what was in a photo. And again, he was just standing there, you know, however many, 40 years ago, came to the mat, 60 years ago now, right? Like that's what you have to ask yourself, right? And we don't know. But again, I would love it. And Jerry's fine talking. As I said, he has his own media platforms. Jerry will happily talk to you NFL reporters. So those of you, the Dallas Cowboys have 9 billion beat reporters. One of you ask, right? Like, just ask.
It's good.
Let's see what happens.
I had no idea he has his own radio show. But, okay.
I mean, Jerry loves being hearing himself talk and being an, you know, that's who he is.
Listen, his
all right,
his career was built on the talents of two black men from Florida and a country boy white dude from California, Troy Aikman. Right, that's it. That's the three guys.
Well, his football talents.
Yeah. Yeah, his money came from
His football career. Yeah. Oh yes, his business career came from oil and other. Yeah, Jerry's that dude from in many ways. onto the floor in the Lakers really quick. They actually won a game last night. And LeBron shot the ball well. He has not been shooting the ball well in the games he's played this season, but shot it really, really well.
Yeah, he's been shooting well of late. He's had two monster 3-point shooting games recently. The team is shooting better. I think he was at 26% from three the first month of the year, like a real 38% now. It's a big deal. And the reason why I put it in the document, Gerard, is he's still pretty amazing. This is an old man. I'm telling you, he tried to get a tip dunk yesterday and the rim blocked it very easily. Not that he can't jump. I don't know if you saw his Thomas Bryant gave him a pass with LeBron cut down the lane and LeBron looked as impressive as he's ever looked on a dunk, but he had a running start. He just can't. Yeah. He's just not the same guy. He's not the same guy offensively. There was a lot of talk about Nembhard's three that beat them the other night. But what people, only Indiana people know this, but I talked to a Pacers fan the other day and some agents that were involved in the game. Nembhard guarded LeBron extremely well. This is a 22-year-old point guard rookie who pretty much stoned LeBron on a bunch of possessions. Even two different times during the game, I watched it on Synergy for a completely different reason. I was looking at something else, but I heard Quick Buckner say, LeBron just want to dribble the ball around Nembhard. And he didn't. He was just passing the ball as soon as he got it. That being said, he's 37. How old is he? And for him, shoot the way he's shooting the ball now, he's going to go down as the most accomplished individual player of all time. He's going to beat Kareem. He's going to get the assist record too, isn't he?
I don't know. The Stockton assist record is, I don't think he's
not
going to
catch that one.
Well, so finish number two? That one's well out there.
Two or three?
Maybe two.
I mean,
three. Yeah. Well, top five. I've said this on this show a million times. You agree. It's really three guys that can lay claim to that greatest of all time title, right? In terms of, you know, greatest careers and the accolades. That's it. Like, everybody else is just not there. You look at what the all NBAs, the
it's MVP, unbelievable.
It's just three guys. It's three guys that have the bulk of that stuff.
And he's just such a different player. In fact, I was talking to Gerard. I was talking to a young player in the NBA about LeBron, preparing to play him. And I said, you need to understand that this is an old fucking guy now. He's amazing. But just remember, there was about a decade. So I started helping NBA players the year he joined the league, 2003. All right. So I spent my whole entire career in this business trying to help guys solve that problem.
How's that worked out?
I told him. I told this player, like, there was a long period, a good decade plus, where there was just nothing you could do. Nothing. Nothing. He was smarter than you, quicker, faster, stronger, better in every way, shape, and form, had the disposition to dominate, didn't take plays off. Mm-hmm. You were just – basically what you said is you need help. You just need – understand now there's nothing you're going to do that's to solve him. It's going to require help, and then you hope his teammates miss shots. So there's really nothing else to do. And that isn't the case anymore. Like, all these players, they age out a little bit. I remember doing the same thing with Dwayne Wade. When Wade was in his prime, forget, there's nothing you can do. You're going to need help. Here's some places to force them on the court. Here's some things to help, like, don't jump for his shot fake. This is for Wade. But when he wants to get a shot off, he's going to get a shot off. You're going to have to get help. And then, Father Time kicks in. They slow down some. But I have, the Lakers and LeBron can be laughed at right now. But it's a mistake to forget what this guy is still doing now at his age. It's literally nothing short of extraordinary. It really is.
Still performing at all-star level. Counting stats
are
great.
Yes.
The mind, he's still smarter than everybody on the floor. Yeah. The body just can't do it at the same speed, right? As I've said before on this show, that's the cruel irony of sport. The older you get, I know everything now, but your body can't do it as well and fast anymore, right? That's your challenge, right? And it's, you know, you'll watch a game with LeBron's in, and you see him at the opposite end of the floor, you see a guy like Nembhard or Benedict Mathurin, and you're like, God damn. It's like, you know, I know how to outthink these dudes, but I can't outjump that guy. Like,
I'm telling you, when he went for the tip dunk and got blocked by the rim, no one's talking about it. Probably no one even watched it. It was just on League Pass, but I just remember thinking, man, that used to be the case when he went for a tip dunk because he was standing vertically under the rim. It's not easy to vertically dunk at 37. It's easy when you're 27 and a great athlete and all that. He just needs a running start now. That's all.
Yeah, listen, by the time comes for us all, right? As we well know. David, you know, I wanted to talk about something. It was interesting. At the Barclays Center this week earlier, I was having a conversation with two of the Athletic writers, Mike Borkanoff, who covers the business of the NBA, and Alex Schiffer, Nets beat writer, and Mike Scotto, who works for, I want to say Real GM, if I'm not mistaken. Scotto, apologies if it's not Real GM. And we were talking about the future of NBA basketball, USA basketball. And I'm excited, as I said on this show before, I love for Embiid to play for France because he's a French citizen. He's a U.S. citizen as well. And I'd love for France to toss out Wembanyama, Embiid, and Gobert as their front line. And I'm like, man, it's 21 feet, more than that, 21 and change. Just not getting, you know, it's going to be tough to get any shots to the rim against those guys. And then the three of us started talking about, well, now that you mention it, what's the future of USA basketball look like? And I was like, And we really were sitting there going, okay, who are our guys? And we make the assumptions that the Kevin Durant generation, so anybody around his age, they're not going to play anymore in 2024 in Paris. So who are our best under 30 talented people? And I came up with a list, and I think it's a good list, but you and I, Coach, we'll talk about some problems that this potential team will have in 2023, this summer coming up for World Cup, and 2024 for the Olympics. World Cup, by the way, is qualifying for the Olympics. And so we'll have to do well in order to make the Olympic team, to make the Olympics. Okay, I got Jason Tatum on here, but I have a star next to his name because Tatum already won an Olympics in Tokyo, won a gold medal.
And then lost the NBA Finals because he ran out of gas.
Correct. So one, he may not do that again because he already has a gold medal. And if the Celtics continue like they're doing right now, they're going to be playing deep into June every year. So he may not want to do that. So I'm going to move him to the star cat, maybe. We talked about Embiid already. He could play for France or the U.S. And he's also someone who plays deep every year, has an injury history. So he may be like, I don't know. Devin Booker also won a gold medal in Tokyo. And he's 27 or 26. But, you know, playing deep into the playoffs every year, he may be like, I need a summer off as well. So those guys were taken away. All right, here are the rest of our list. Ja Morant, Donovan Mitchell, Zion Williamson, Desmond Bane, De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton, Trae Young, Jaylen Brown. Now, the reason why Jaylen Brown is there, you'd be like, Gerard, he plays for the Celtics too. But Jaylen Brown hasn't gone to the Olympics yet. He hasn't won a gold medal, so maybe he might want one. Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Jaren Jackson Jr., Bam Adebayo, though Bam already won one in Tokyo, Brandon Ingram. And then I go to like Mikal Bridges, Kevin Herter. We start getting
Hold on a second. Are you forgetting one name, a player I know you love?
Who did
maybe the best shooter in the league the last 2 years? Big muscular guy, looks like a football player, plays for your Grizzlies.
Okay. I said Desmond Bane.
I had a lot of names, and I'm an old man.
I did.
Yeah. So Desmond Bane. I got Desmond. Yeah. Yep. That's really good group.
Very talented group.
You have a
group.
Good point to make. Go ahead.
They are not experienced playing international ball. I'm not sure which of these kids, they're younger than me, so they can be kids. Which of these young men have been as part of the select camp and done the thing? I'm sure some of them, but not all. Yeah,
no, it's a very, very good point. When you said it to me off air, the word you used was seasoned. And as someone who's got a lot of experience in national basketball, because I've coached a lot of players that play in the other teams that we're trying to beat, it's a different game. It's a different game. And listen, I've been doing this a long time, and I've definitely tweeted and said some really dumb things, because it's hard to see the future. But I've also written and said some smart things. The smartest thing I ever did, and you can find it, is when I first saw Rudy Gobert in Summer League for the Jazz in Vegas, I wrote and said, if Team USA ever loses a game in the Olympics, it's going to be like a Rudy Gobert team. And my thought process was, you can play zone legally. And it's easier to play zone because the court's a little bit more contracted because the line is a little bit closer. And a guy like Rudy can just shut the paint down. This was my thinking when I wrote this when he was a rookie, whatever year that was, a decade ago. And there's just a lot of pressure on shooters to have to make shots when you just can't get in the paint. And if you're the only game we had lost for a long time was to Greece. And in that game, Henry interviewed me. We were at ESPN and he interviewed me about the game and he wrote an article about the interview. I wasn't really doing much for True Hoop because it was just Henry. And I said, nothing to worry about. We shot terribly and we always could lose a game. We shoot terribly, but Greece played out of their minds. We're going to be just fine. And then of course we won 50 some odd international games in a row, whatever it was, but there is always that chance when teams can take away the paint that we're just going to have to rely on shooting, which is why when you read that list, all I'm thinking about is where's our shooters? Because and that's why you say Bridges, good. Cam Johnson, those guys are good players.
And having
NBA, this is the irony of this, having NBA playoff experience, Gerard, helps you be able to deal with the pressure of playing for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. It hurts you because you're worn out. You're worn down more. Mm-hmm. John Feinstein wrote an amazing book, and I've just forgotten the name of it, about the Ryder Cup. And it starts mm-hmm. with a scene. You remember the old golfer? He just captained our Ryder Cup team, Davis Love III, our President's mm-hmm. Cup team.
Of course, yep.
It starts with him talking about missing a big putt in a Ryder Cup and saying he threw up all over himself, which is like a saying for golfers when you're missing a 5-foot mm-hmm. putt. These guys are money when they're playing for money. But when they're mm-hmm. playing for country, and also kind of ironic, not ironic, but coincidental, they had a reason to love their country. These rich white dudes that grew up in a country club, not the same for a lot of our players. It's amazing they fight as hard as they do for their country that, as Doc Rivers said eloquently 3 years ago, hasn't really loved us. Nonetheless, mm-hmm. that's what these players are doing. And there's so much pressure when you're doing it for us collectively. You're not doing it for the money. You're not doing it for yourself and your own family and team. That's why that seasoning, that's your word, is so smart. Mm-hmm. And then we still have a target. We're still America. So it'd be different if we were. In fact, I think we're better off sending younger guys and let them be underdogs. It takes some of that pressure mm-hmm. off. I don't know that we will. I don't know what's going to happen. Who's even going to coach us? Is Steve Kerr?
Steve Kerr is the coach. Grant Hill has took over for Jerry Colangelo as the director of Team USA.
Awesome. Yeah.
But something interesting, we used to say, Team USA used to say, 2-year commitment for these guys. Grant Hill said, we're not doing that anymore. We have to just be mindful of the time. And
because of what? Because of playoffs and everything?
Because of playoffs and just, it's a lot of, the summer is these guys off season.
That's what I mean.
Forget about training and skill development. This is recovery time also, so they can get ready for the next season. Now I'm telling you, for 2 straight summers, you're now really going to have an offseason because I need you to be here for summer camp and World Cup in 2023 and Paris in 2024. A lot of guys may not want to make that 2-year commitment. When is World Cup? World Cup is in July, August.
Okay, so later. August. Yeah. I figured that because all the seasons end in June around the world.
And so, you know, this is a challenge we're going to have coming up. It's sort of figuring out what's the best mode to go. And I think the team's going to have to look a lot different, right? Even with when Colangelo and Krzyzewski took over, they were like, no, we want guys that are commitment. It was still very star heavy. It may have to be more of like actual team building and look like Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. Like, no, good role play guys who fit specific functions. I need you to shoot and defend your ass off. That is your job. Okay. That's what I do for my home team. I can do that. And I think another piece that's interesting, Coach, and I want your thoughts on this. You know, I'm watching World Cup in Germany in particular. A lot of the German national team play for Bayern Munich, which is the top team in the German Bundesliga. There's some advantages to that, right? Because those guys have a lot of familiarity because they're used to playing with each other. When you look at the Olympics, and it's hard because we have trades and free agency and all that, but teams that have young cores that you can keep that are together, you're like, you know what? We want that pod to come together. A Zion B.I. pod from New Orleans, a Ja Morant, Desmond Bain, Jaren Jackson pod from Memphis. You take these little pods that you're like, all right, I'm not saying we're going to run all Memphis stuff, but we're definitely going to run some time where the three of you are out there together because y'all just know how to run off each other. I think that is something that, you know, you might want to look at too.
Yeah. I think the most important thing is just that we keep an open mind to ideas like yours and others. I know I'd like it to make it a U25 tournament. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even mind if it was U22, and just keep the young people in it. Because as someone who deals with a lot of professional international players, almost unanimously, I have voted against playing for the national team because I recognize mm-hmm. what it's going to do to their bodies over the course of time. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, and this is not the case for Team USA, in most cases, these national teams are cheap. These athletes are used to the best of everything, and I would not call that spoiled. I know what they have to go through. It is hard. Most of us don't. I mean, I struggle through two rounds of like core training for 10 minutes a night. These guys are killing their bodies. And their countries are cheap. Their federations are cheap. Team USA spares no expense, for sure, as they shouldn't. But normally, my pro players from overseas, by the time they get to year 7, year 8, year 9, where they've been captain every year, whatever, they're like, right. What am I doing? We're fucking still eating dog food for dinner, whatever. We're staying in bullshit hotels, doing bullshit practices all the time. I'm exhausted, right, and we suck. Right. There's only a few teams. So I'd like, and I don't care if America ever wins, but I like the idea of under 22 right. or under 25, whatever, for globally. But we just need to, I think, I'm glad Grant Hill is thinking that way. I wish the world would think that way. I'm not confident that they are. So if it turns out we lose because we're trying to protect our NBA players, I cover the NBA. I cover the Olympics secondarily. Yeah.
Right. No, yeah. I'm with you there too. I think ultimately, you know, I talked about this with Henry on Monday about, it's like a sport like swimming, right? Like the only time the world cares about it is at the Olympics. You could be the 3-time defending world champion. And as I've said about swimming in the past, the world championship meet is often a faster and better meet than the Olympics. But if you lose the Olympics, oh, this guy sucks. Oh, this girl sucks. It's like, no, like it's just the Olympics is just this different thing. It's almost not really what you've been doing for the 3 years prior, right? Same thing with USA basketball. Like nobody cares about Team USA basketball until we lose. Then it's, you know, end of the world, you know? So it's a lot of, that's a different kind of pressure to be dealing with.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, folks, stay tuned because coming up next is we're going to talk about a player who was not on our best under 30 players, and Coach has some thoughts about him, so stay tuned. This episode of True Hoop is brought to you by BetterHelp. Hey, guys, Gerard from True Hoop here. If you had an extra hour in your day, what would you do? It's a hell of a question. Would you maybe go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? Now, depending on the day, any one of those would be a great idea. Most of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Now, I've been open in the past with you guys about this. I see a personal therapist as well as a couples therapist for my partner and I. And both are extremely helpful in developing positive coping skills and learning how to set boundaries. Therapy empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/truehoop today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TrueHoop. Okay, and we are back. And Coach, your favorite player is Max Thorpe. But one of your favorite players isn't playing so well right now up in Toronto. Scotty Barnes is struggling a little bit.
Yeah, I did a show when he is in Toronto a couple weeks ago. They asked me about him, and I don't know Scotty. We both know my son well, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously I know Masai and those guys, but I could only guess as to what's going on. And one of my guesses, I have a few, but my main guess is this summer he enjoyed being Scotty Barnes. I saw him on Instagram or whatever playing a lot of fun pickup games, but I'm not convinced at all he really trained. He may have worked on a shot. His shot does look better. I don't know what he's shooting from three right now. If there was a long time, he's shooting pretty good. I've not looked recently. But his game wasn't sharp. He's strong, big as hell, but his game wasn't sharp. And as I said to a player the other day who had a really big game, a young player, I told him, if you don't stay humble, you're going to get humbled. Like, it's either your choice or it's going to be done to you. But this is the way the league is. And we'll talk about rookies later on today. I wrote about some today and yesterday. And Scotty, I think, just felt like, all right, I own this place now. And the league reminded him, no, you don't. Yeah, we're all coming for your throat, to quote Adina, coming for necks from way back in the day. Adina said that. I love that. And, well, it's easy to fix. Go to work. And you're not going to wait till the offseason, as I tell players all the time.
Yeah.
10 minutes a day, every day, extra work on something will fix problems pretty quickly. That's what he needs to do. Because Toronto is an interesting team, but they need to have Scotty playing well to be at their best.
Yeah, he's struggling, shooting 33% from three. It's just better than last
year. That's down where he was, though.
But he's down from where he started the season. And his two-point field goal percentage is down big time. He shot 54% from two last year, 47%.
And that's because he was better with the ball last year and could get better spaces on the floor, I think. He's just not as good. He's not as sharp now. And his energy is not quite the same. And this is what, and I'll talk about this with rookies, this is the challenge of all these guys is you can't take your foot off the gas. You have to keep working. You have to be relentless in it, both in your training and in the way you play. And he's a human being. And so hopefully he'll snap out of it.
No, 100%. And, you know, Coach, you're talking about young players and the difficulties that this league has. I mean, this is the best basketball league in the world. So you ain't going to come in here and just dominate from day in. That's not how this game works. Like, you got to bust your ass. Like, you know how hard it is to be Stephen Curry, Giannis, LeBron, Kevin Durant? Like, it's really fucking hard to be as good as those guys. Yeah, you got to be talented. That's the first thing. If you don't have any talent, it ain't happening. But you have to work your ass off to be that good. And those guys, they'll tell you, they've all had humbling moments, right? Like,
oh my God,
it happens because it's just
never ending. Never ending. It's just no pro athlete would tell anything different.
Yeah. And a player, something that you say all the time for young guys is playing time is like oxygen. And I got a chance to watch, I mean, as you know, my basketball love language is tall dudes who can shoot. So I was really high on Bol Bol when he was in college. I'm like, I think he could be something in the NBA. And I got so excited when the Nuggets drafted him in the second round. I was like, oh, we got Michael Porter Jr. and this guy? I love it. Don't know what happened in Denver. Maybe he wasn't taking basketball seriously enough. Who knows? Whatever. Injured, definitely injured a lot as well. Spent some time down in the G League. But he's getting playing time in Orlando, David, and he's doing some things. Like, he's still clueless on defense a lot of the time, right? And messing things up. But, I mean, talk about guys who can shoot it, you see him do it all. Grab the rebound off the board. I don't need to pass anybody. I can just take it up myself, dribble, and get all the way to the rim and dunk. It's just, he's been having some fun in Orlando. They still stink, but very happy that he's playing well and getting a chance to play.
Yeah, he's, when he was doing well about 3 weeks ago, I called a friend of mine that really kind of follows this kind of stuff. And I said, what happened to him in Denver? And this very, very kind of a connected guy in the NBA said that he really had surrounded himself with some terrible people, like bad people. I'll just leave it at that. And that he thinks that's not the case anymore. I have no idea what else has happened or if that, I don't think this guy's lying to me. But we all know you can just get better at basketball. You can train harder, you get more serious. I had concerns about him as a ball handler because he's just so freaking tall. And just, you know, there's Kevin Durant's one of one. So to think there's going to be two like him is kind of silly. And he isn't Kevin Durant. He's not as quick as Kevin. Kevin is just so incredibly quick in his prime at that size. But he's very fluid. And his skill is there. He stops and starts well. He changes direction well. Mm-hmm. The game is easy for him. He's not out of control. See, he's just a super talented player. Yeah, syrupy smooth. And I don't know what he's shooting from three this year, but is it pretty good?
He's shooting well.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to pull him up right now. He's
high 30s?
Coach, like, it's the contest. You can't contest, right? Yeah. When he pulls up. Yeah. He's shooting 40% from three. Like,
come on. With Paolo?
You can't.
We're getting the young rookies here in a minute. Like, that's a scary duo right there. Because Paolo can really pass, Bo can pass. And Paolo can handle and pass, too.
And Franz? Like,
Franz, too, right.
They need to figure. 6'8". I just hope that they give Jamal.
He's only 6'8".
Get a little compared to those guys. Yeah, if they just give Jamal a chance to really, because like, I can see what they're trying to do there. And then who knows what they do with Jonathan Isaac when he ever comes, because that's a 7-footer.
Yeah, they've
got to like,
solve
their
guard problems. In fact, I had a conversation with an agent the other day who's got a good young point guard in the NBA, but he's not going to start a point guard because the team has a better point guard and he's more older. And I said, yeah, but your guy has a chance to go to a place like Orlando, because we don't know if Jalen Suggs is the answer. He might be. He's young, 21. He could be the answer, but they need to solve that issue unless they're going to make Bobo at one. And they're playing Wagner at one. Like, he, in games, they he's are. Playing a primary ball handler.
He is.
And Paolo can be some primary ball handling. So they could go the Raptors route. And if you know Jeff Weltman, his group, they really like, they always kind of talk about length. And sure enough, that's how they're playing it. So, Wendell Carter Jr. is pretty good. Mo Bamba is pretty good. Wendell Carter Jr. might be good.
Yeah,
we'll see.
They got talent in Orlando. They really do. I think, look, we'll talk about bigs too in a little bit, but I just, because they were playing Brooklyn, and Brooklyn is so small, and Simmons was not in that game. I was like, Jesus, you guys are midgets compared to these dudes. Like, they're just so much bigger than you.
If you ever want to get some insight into them, one of their assistant coaches is a longtime friend of mine, like 30 years. Oh, more than 30 years, probably 33 years. He was with.
All right. Next time Orlando's back in town,
he was at Portland for 9 years with Dame, and now he's with Jamal. And he's one of the all time great guys. And I'll put you in touch with him.
No, because I think they really have something cooking there. Again, they just, you said, you got to figure out their guard problem. And then, you know, hopefully they actually start, you know, playing well and winning games.
And they have their lottery pick this year. And it's probably going to be a lottery pick.
Wait, what if they got Victor?
Yeah.
I mean,
they're going to be in the running for it.
Paolo.
They're going to be in the running for it for sure.
Everybody on this, no one under 7 foot allowed on this team. That's it. We're all 7 footers over here. Yeah, this is what we're
like
doing.
I'm fighting for the small guy, damn it. I'm only 6 feet tall.
You did a little update that'll be out maybe later today or tomorrow on True about the rookies and what you're seeing. But you had something that you said to me off air. It's kind of tied to what we started with Bol Bol and how difficult this league is about, you know, rookies and Scotty Barnes and just everything.
Yeah, it's coming out today. They're finishing up the edit now. So basically, I'm going to do this four times at the quarter pole, halfway, three quarter, and then the end of the season. And just kind of looking at the guys that, you know, playing the most. I think that we have to take the perspective of Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I was telling you, I heard Larry David when he was asked, why do you name it that? It doesn't really make sense. It doesn't have anything to do with the show, but it has to do with his personality, which is, I see you having a great time up there laughing and smiling, thinking the world's going, you know, your oyster. Tone it down a notch, will you please? Like, you leave, keep it to yourself, is what he was saying. I didn't need to be hearing it. And so I hear all this, you know, Shaedon Sharpe has his highlight dunk and Paolo's doing this. And you know what? They're rookies. I don't know if we know anything yet. It's encouraging that Benedict Mathurin scoring 20 points a game. It's encouraging that Paolo scored all these points. These are good omens. Sharpe is shooting well from three, like 40% from three. He's got some highlight dunks. He's fucking terrible. I was telling you, he's in the first percentile defensively for dunks and threes.
And that's
in
not
a bad
good.
Way. Yeah. You want to be 100%. Yeah. Steph Curry's 100% on offense. Shade's the opposite on defense. Who cares? He's 19. He's 19 and a half. Like, he's a long way to go. And the success story is relentless work, relentless studying, relentlessly taking care of your body, relentless training in the offseason, all these things. Anything can happen. Bol Bol, look what's happening now. Andrew Wiggins. I mean, it took that long, and it took a different franchise to really kind of unlock all that he could be. And even then, I don't think he'll ever be what we all thought he could be. If he had been at Golden State in year one, I think things would be different. So I'm encouraged by Dyson Daniels' defense, Benedict Mathurin's scoring. Keegan Murray has been a big disappointment after having such a good summer league, but and we'll get to the Kings more later. It's a hard team to play with. And when we talk about, I want to talk about the Kings-Pacers game later on. It's tough for Murray. Jaden Ivey looks like John Morant, Dwayne Wade all over again. He's so, I have a GIF. I have a GIF of him in the article where he's at the top of the key and he refuses the screen at the top of the key. And in the blink of an eye, he's just hammer dunking. Like, no one, he's Russell Westbrook. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
So a lot of things to be excited about. But like I said, if you don't stay humble and work, you're going to get humbled. And these guys all have to stay humble because even Paolo, as good as he's been, and even Jabari Smith had a terrible start. He's very good these last four games on a team that is not easy to play with. I had one NBA player tell me, talking about Jabari, it's got to be so hard playing on a team where no one wants to pass you the ball. And so you shoot it because, you know, if you don't shoot it, you ain't going to shoot it later in the possession. Jalen Green is still like his team is like 10 points worse or maybe it's 12 points worse than when he's on the court than when he's off. Like he has a chance to be great and he has a chance to be a huge disappointment. We have to just take a long-term approach. The John Morants and Zions are rare. Luka. There's a few of these guys. Mm-hmm. And right. In this class, I'm not ready to say that anyone's there yet.
Yeah. This is the hardest basketball league in the world. You're not going to come in here on day one and be that dude, right? And then again, quitting, giving up on guys a year or two in, what if someone give them on you at 21 or 22, right?
I've said that so many times. If I wasn't lucky enough to just stupidly take a summer job before I was going to go be a writer in Chicago and met this hot blonde, if I don't do that and decide to stick it out, who fucking knows what I'm doing? I just got lucky as hell. And in the case of these players, first of all, finding a significant other can help for sure. Mm-hmm. I've had many players mature so much when they realize, oh, fuck, I'm going to lose this amazing woman if I don't wake the fuck up and get serious. And sometimes it's the franchise. You know, I've always said, people always said, Tim Duncan made the Spurs. I don't agree. I spent a week with Tim Duncan in Gainesville watching him for the World University Games. And he was like our sixth best player. I've said this before on the show. We had Allen Iverson and Kerry Kittles, Ray Allen. We had a hell of a team. But I think Pop helped him just as much become the amazing top six all-time whatever player he was. Mm-hmm. Most players need help. And so it's on these franchises to do that.
And they're so bad at most of them.
I had an agent call me yesterday on this whole Team USA story that you were just talking about. But his approach was, I need your help in getting involved in the league level with building better programs for our young players. We're not doing it. And our teams are not, this is what he said. It's not just for prep players and high school, college. It's our pro players aren't getting the guidance. He's literally, this agent said to me, you need to hire like five people and train them to do what you do. I'm 57 now. I'm not looking to build a $1 billion business. I like what I'm doing just fine. I'll add some people maybe. Yeah. But he said, these players have no idea how to play. And they're just really talented with no idea. And we're not seeing enough. He, as an agent, he said, my players aren't getting enough help from the teams they're with. And so... And that's why I'm saying the franchise that do it right, you're really going to help your players a ton.
And we talk about this, David. It's the incentives are misaligned. A coach is worried about the literal here and now every single day. How do we win tonight? Well, if that's my number one concern, guess what I'm not doing? Player development, right? Who are the five best guys that are to get me to win tonight? And I'm going to play them as much as possible. That's literally what happens. So, well, now I got guys who aren't getting better because they have no chance, no opportunity. Right. Not good. The NBA. Speaking of players who, you know, you got to work. A player who kind of was an all-star when he was drafted in New York, Kristaps Porzingis, went to Dallas. Everybody thought, oh, him and Luka will be great. Didn't work out. He was injured a lot there. Had some moments, though. People were like, oh, this guy stinks. Get him out of here. He's terrible. Washington's what they are. I saw him up close with Burzal last night. They're 500 after that loss. But Kristaps is playing well this year.
Really
coach.
Well.
Shooting it well. Rebounding. Look, this is a super talented guy that, again, in the right scenario, healthy and, you know, given the right training and coaching, this can a very good player who can help your team win games.
A great player. And I was really skeptical of him. And I was probably wrong, which makes me more skeptical of Jason Kidd and Luka. It did not work. It didn't work. It wasn't helped that he was hurt. And he clearly looks like he's pretty healthy now. But he looks like the unicorn we once thought he was. And so, Jason, you're 10-10. I think the record is like 500.
they're under 500 now, or did that win against the Warriors might have put them right at 500, but they were below, yeah. And they might have got right to 500.
Mr. Kidd, like, we're watching you, man. You got Luke on your team, and when I always say this, when you lose a player, and that player blows up or gets back to where he was, well, now I got to look at what happened before, and that's on not just on Jason Kidd, but Luka too, and so yeah, we have a lot to look at there. But Kristaps, well, you talk about Bol Bol too. Those are two, between the two of them, their wingspan's like 74,000 feet. You know what I mean? Like, I think the two of them could touch baseline to baseline if they held hands. Super skilled. And I watched tape on Kristaps. Yes. Yeah, he's just the man. So he wasn't the man in Dallas. And, mm-hmm. and he might need to be the man to be that good. Or at least play with someone that's a little bit more, less dribbly than Luka. But yeah, he's blocking shots to a decent degree. He just looks like the guy. And I know what Tommy Shepard was thinking, the president, him and Bradley Beal. Well, that's not working on anything but okay, because Kuz was pretty good too. Yeah, their young guys have been disappointing. Abdiya, who I thought would be really good, has not been good at all. Hachimura has not really done much. But the bottom line is Tommy Shepard traded for a guy that a bunch of teams covet now. So he's got two players that he can move to get a lot.
No, absolutely. And I think you're right about looking. I wasn't thinking about Dallas and like looking at Luka and Jason, be like, you don't break up all-star caliber pairings just unless the two guys hate each other and you're like, this can't work. Right. And I don't know if that's the case. Maybe it was, right. Who knows, but on a team on Dallas right now that is so Luka centric. I mean, you saw that Warriors game on Tuesday night, Mavericks up 17. The minute Luka goes to the bench, lead given up right away. Cause it's like, the other guys, when he's not there, don't know what to do. And I'm like, this ain't good. Like, that's not a recipe for winning basketball. I don't know. But anyway, happy for Kristaps playing well. You know, we talked about Bol and Kristaps, and I said to you off air, you know, this more than anything, all NBAs, whatever, this is the legacy of Kevin Durant, right? Rethinking what a 7-footer can do on the floor, right? As you know, in the past, a coach saw someone Kevin Durant's size when he was, you know, in high school, would have been like, well, we got to get you to bulk up, son. Let's just put on some weight, get you in the post, and you're going to bang around with those heavy dudes. And it's like, nah, I think we can keep him light. And he can do some pretty, pretty nifty things if we work this out and have some imagination, right? And, you know, he turned into one of the great players of all time. And I was, this week, with Bol there on Monday, with Kristaps there last night, you know, watching Durant, he was incredible in both games. Masterful. 45 on Monday, 31. I mean, just like, he's on a tear shooting the ball right now. And, you know, it's just so funny because he gets to the little room and it's like, oh, Kevin, have you ever been in a tear like this before? Yeah. He's like, every time I shoot, I feel like it's going in. Like, it doesn't, but doesn't mean I don't feel like it is, right? Every shot feels good. But it is awesome to watch because we don't know how many more years of this we have left. And I asked head coach Jacques Vaughn after the game, because Jacques said, you know, I don't want to take Kevin for granted. And I said, and I followed up with him. I said, you mentioned you don't want to take Kevin for granted. But I'm like, is this sustainable, Jacques? He's got the most minutes in the league, high 30s. And he was like, he wanted to say yes. He was like, it's not ideal. And I'm like, no, it's not. Right. Like,
that's a good answer.
But it's beautiful. He's like, we are trying to figure out behind the scenes what to do, but it is not ideal, because they obviously want him at his best later in the season. But David, if he doesn't do his 45 points on Monday, they don't win. They're right. And that's what Jock said. He's like, I'm worried about how do we win tonight? Well, the way we win tonight is Kevin Durant playing 38 to 39 minutes. That's how we win. Okay. And their issue as a team, as you know, is because they were designed to have three max slot guys. Well, only one guy is playing like an MVP level player. The other two max slot guys aren't. And that's just
one's not even playing right. Simmons is out.
Well, he's out. Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So the evolution of the center, you know, going back a long ways, Bill Russell was an incredible passer, couldn't dribble, couldn't shoot. Larry Bird, 6'10", Magic Johnson, 6'9", amazing dribblers. Magic was an amazing dribbler. Both brilliant passers. Larry Bird, brilliant shooter. Magic, a great leader, scorer, and he played point guard. You start seeing guys with size more and more. Then Dirk comes in, and he's just an impossible cover because of his shooting. And then Durant comes in, And really, the guy he's most like is Larry Bird. People don't ever think that. Larry Bird destroyed people offensively at 6'10". And it wasn't because he shook you off the dribble so much as he got where he wanted to go and then made plays. Mm-hmm. Durant's just a better scorer. He's more athletic. He's probably 2 inches taller, longer, quicker. Isn't quite the passer Bird is, although I'm not convinced he couldn't have been a great passer. It's just almost by mathematical definition, every time he passed the ball, he decreased his team's chance of scoring because him at 10 feet contested is better than anything other than uncontested at the rim dunks. He's just that good of a scorer. And I think he marries the two extremely well, always have.
Yeah.
I always have felt like he's not a selfish guy because if anyone could be selfish, he should be the one that is, and he isn't. So, yeah, we're not going to see, you know, there's going to be players that can play like him. There's, Durant is just so unique and special. And I'm glad you mentioned the whole under 30 thing because we do need to appreciate the guys that are the Steph Currys who right now might be the best player in the league. He might be the best player in the league right now. And that's phenomenal.
The Golden State's another one. He has to play all the minutes or else we ain't winning if he's not playing.
Jordan Poole is a guy that I characterize as a possibility for Team USA, by the way. Because he's really quick and can shoot. We need shooters, man. We need some shooters. We're not going to destroy people inside. Yeah. Unless Embiid plays for us, America, which I hope he doesn't. I'd rather him see him overseas or just take time off. I'd rather see him in the NBA.
Or just, he makes you do that.
Durant, Magic through, I remember being in college and winning a bet. I'll never collect on it because I didn't know I'd won until later. But I had a fraternity brother of mine named Howie, big sports fan, who guaranteed me Magic Johnson didn't play point guard in high school. I said, I've seen the tape. I know he played point. It doesn't mean he guarded point guards, but he played point guard.
Right.
He blew our minds at 6'9". Allen Iverson blew our minds in a different way. Kobe Bryant blew our minds in a different way. The guys that have changed the game, revolutionized it, like Iverson, like Magic, like Steph Curry and KD and Dirk.
Durant.
Those are true pioneers because of what they did at their size for their position and the way they played. And I don't know who's next. I don't know the next revolutionary kind of player. There may never be. Right. We've revolutionized almost everything. Jokic at 5. Giannis is a center and plays all 5 positions, just can't shoot. So maybe there'll be a Giannis that can shoot. Maybe that'll be the final one. The 7'4", Victor, that's the final guy. Can play all 5 positions on both sides, maybe. Yeah, you're right. That's it.
Maybe
him.
I mean, that's it. It is, but it is incredible to watch where the league has evolved to, guys can do now and the level of skill. It's fantastic. You wanted to comment on something you saw. 2 notes from the Kings Pacers game. The Tyrese Halliburton, De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis, Buddy Hield.
Yeah, there was a lot of. I watched the game for that reason. There was a lot of drama. Silly. Tyrese got a huge ovation. They booed Buddy. I don't know why. Quinn Buckner for the Pacers said he had heard it was because Buddy was there 4.5 years and make the playoffs. So then Quinn said, they haven't made the playoffs in 19 years or whatever it was. I watched their last playoff series because Kevin Martin was a starter on that team in 06. So the 2 things about the game is, one, the Kings play a dizzying pace of basketball.
They're fast.
Fucking flying, and they wore Indiana. Just beat LA in that great game. They wore Indiana out. They had them dizzy, running around in circles. The speed at which they're playing, which makes it hard for Keegan Murray. Because he's like, hey, can everyone just slow down here? Hold on a minute. I'm just a rookie here. Time out. Just don't move. That's what we do in practice. Don't move. Let's go with this where everyone's staying in position. And so it's unfair for him a little bit. But the other thing I liked is Indiana was getting waxed early. And I've just forgotten the name of their female coach. Bucek, maybe. She played at Virginia. She played in WNBA and got hurt. She's coached in WNBA.
Yeah, Jenny Bucek. Yep.
She told the sideline report, I think at halftime, maybe it was the end of the first quarter. She said, we got to get into the fight. Yeah, the sideline reporter reported, we got to get into the fight. And I just fell in love. And I've said this many times, men have a monopoly on nothing. And regarding this game, nothing. And by the way, have you seen the Instagram tape of these, 15-year-old girls dunking the ball easily? Oh yeah, my yeah. God. Like it's coming, right? It's really coming. We definitely don't have a monopoly on knowledge and intelligence and insight into this game for sure. And that is exactly something I would have been proud to say when I first started coaching. I wasn't smart enough to probably. Sometimes you just got to throw someone in the fight, let yourself get beat up a little bit, but battle. And I just love that we're going to have a female head coach at some point and she's going to get fired, but it won't be because she's a girl. And I don't know that everyone's going to realize that. It won't be because she's a woman. It's because we fire everybody, you know,
Freaking
hard.
Fired. Yeah.
But that's exactly what she should have said. And they did get in the fight for a while. And then they got their ass kicked because the Kings play so damn fast.
Coach, my God, like Mike Brown is always yelling at them, get up, race up the floor. And it's like, oh my, like, literally like their hair is on fire. And when you're defending that, like, that's just like, to your point, Dizzy, you're like, what am I supposed to do here? Right. They're constantly racing.
And no one expected that. Mike Brown was super slow guy in Cleveland. I think being at Golden State probably helped him a little bit. And De'Aaron Fox is a joke. He had a little bit of a slump. I don't know how well he did last night. He had three bad games prior, but he was still making 80% of his shots inside 3 feet. But he was above 50 from 3 to 10 feet, above 50 from 10 to 16, and then in the 40s, 16 to 23, and then he's shooting well from three. Like, he's an all-star this year. He and Halliburton, ironically, in a sense, both are, because that trade worked with both guys.
Kerr said this about Fox. You know, he's one of the fastest guys in the league, and he used to be, all right, go under on screens because, you know, we'll give him the three. He's hitting threes now. One a player who's that fast already has that now. Well, now
he's hitting everything. Like he's really a hell of a player.
Halliburton, Fox, Bane, Markkanen, and who the hell was my fifth potential first time All Stars? Can't remember. But those four for sure. I was like, oh, these could be first time All Stars. They're playing that well. Look, time, right? Everybody's ready to quit on De'Aaron Fox. Ah, that guy stinks.
Just needed playing well now.
Yeah, just needed some time. You know, one of the things that we love at True Hoop is Coach Thorpe always has us ahead of the curve. League's going small, and you're like, you know what? Teams that play multiple bigs might be pretty good. And we're seeing teams with multiple bigs. Surprise, surprise. Some of them not doing too bad. We talked about Orlando already. They're not good yet because they're mostly young. But Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Cleveland, we like that two big look. We talked about the Bucks on Monday, Henry and I did, and you and I did as well, Giannis and Lopez.
Giannis had three, Bobby Portis had four, and Lopez had five rotations.
When they go jumbo, then you're like, we got nothing now, right? Which is awesome. The Lakers, Thomas Bryant, AD and LeBron, the Pacers with Miles Turner and Jalen Smith. If a team can employ skilled bigs, well, when I say big, I don't mean like a, I just mean someone tall.
6'10" or taller.
He's also skilled. Right. That just gives you such an advantage. Like, you dwarf the other. It's just because, as you always say, scoring over length, really hard to do in this league. I watch it because the Nets are tiny. Their guards are tiny. Scoring, it's very hard.
Look at your Grizzlies. You got JJJ, Triple J, and Steven Adams. Like, it's just, we're seeing this more and more. And I think I saw a stat recently about offensive rebounds being up. Like, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to match teams. Yeah, it's a zigzag, right? It's a yin and yang, whatever. It's you're doing this to me. I don't have the manpower to do it back at you, so I've got to pivot and make you pay for the adjustment you just made to hurt me. This is the chess match of the league. And so the teams that they're not married to an ideology, they're married to kicking the other team's ass by changing things up. They need a roster that gives them flexibility to do so.
Yes.
And when that happens... Yes. Remember last year, Steven Adams wasn't playing for the Grizzlies in the postseason. And then Kevon Looney in one game had like 74 offensive rebounds.
Let's get rid of
that. And then you saw Adams again. Like, you got to have some flexibility. Roster flexibility is a big part, I think, of the postseason success. But coaches have to be able to be pragmatic and change with the times, you know, minute by minute, possession by possession. And I think having those jumbo looks, like I said, with the Lakers, when Bryant's played some fives, AD at four, LeBron at three, that's an interesting look. The Bucks with their big three, I think we start seeing that. I think we'll just see more of that over time. And as you've already been saying, we just have more and more 6'10 guys that can play more than just be a center. Offensively, defensively, out on the court. The better someone is offensively on the perimeter, with the exception of Karl-Anthony Towns, because he's not proved he can do it, I think you really increase your chance of guarding the perimeter defensively. And so now we're going to have more versatile players overall.
Yeah, no, it's... Listen, this is the future of the league, and it's wonderful to see. All right, you know what time it is, folks. Top five.
How many think we're going to nail exactly the same?
I think we might have the same five, just in different
order. How many do you think we'll have the exact order?
We get two? I think we'll have two in the same.
The first one for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe the second.
Let's get rid of... We know Boston's one, right?
Boston's one.
So that's one. So number five for me, with a bullet, because I think they're coming, is the Pelicans.
Yeah. Yes, that's two for us.
Let's go. Zion playing more point guard. Zion playing with joy. Like, he's you can see it. I know how dark of a place he was in a year ago. At least I suspect I do. He is having fun.
Yeah.
And CJ's out.
Listen, they're one of only three teams, them, the Cavs, and the Suns, top 10 in both offense and defense efficiency.
Yeah. Okay.
That matters.
Number four for me, I would have had him. I had him. I crossed it out. You can't see it. I crossed it out. They were number three, and I moved them down because they play the easiest schedule in the league, but I've got the Milwaukee Bucks at four.
Okay, so that's where we have our difference. I had the Bucks at two. I've got the Suns at number
four. I had the Suns at two and dropped them to three because I have the Cavs at two because they played a number top 10 schedule. That's your team. You bailing on them already? They're number three for you?
No, Cavs are three. Cavs are three.
So we have the same five, and we got two matches. All right.
We got same five, just different orders. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, the Cavs, you know I love the Cavs. As you and I both agree, they're probably a wing player away from being a real contender.
Yeah, they get OG Anunoby, it's a wrap. Oh, they're not going to get him. They're not going to get him. Right. But it's a wrap if they did. I really think that.
Yeah. That,
yeah.
And Boston, not really guarding well yet, but who the hell cares? Because they're lighting everybody up offensively. So it's like, see Tatum last night?
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to forget this because you brought it up earlier on the Team USA thing. I just now thought of it when I thought of people like Darius Garland and Evan Mobley. Mm-hmm. And Jared Allen, you said, is on the list.
Oh, Mobley, I didn't mention, but Darius Garland,
I'm Mobley
I did.
On the list. Okay. We might need to take our lumps. I think we should say we're doing an under 25 team for the World Cup. No matter what happens, we're an under 25. So no matter what, we have 12 players under 25 that now will say they have real national experience, and then we'll build from there. And if we lose, we lose. We have all the chance to qualify, right? Through a different tournaments.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we don't make it, we don't make it one time. But let's try to get another 10 years, 12 years success. That's what I'd love to see. Yeah, you can send the Cavs team. Just send the starting five for the Cavs and then bring in another team as a backup, you know? Yeah.
The Cavs and the Grizzlies. Just send both those teams.
Yeah, just replace
OG
for Okoro at the three, and we're good to go. Yeah, I don't know where OG's from.
OG will play for Team England, I believe. So, yeah. Yeah, he's we don't get OG. Yeah. When you really look at the players. Olympics. No, not happening. Speaking of national teams, congratulations. Shout out to Team USA's men's national soccer. I say football team. Made it to the knockout round of the World Cup. They will play the Netherlands on Saturday. The interesting thing about the World Cup is the group stage, you know, you have a little bit of wiggle room, right? Because, you just got to advance out of your group, top two. Well, knockout is not single elimination. There ain't no half stepping in this one. So tactics are going to be huge in this one, right? There's win and you advance. And I think it'll be interesting to see what Greg Berhalter, the U.S. men's national team coach, decides to do. We got attacking players. Gio Reyna has still not even played. Like, you know, him and Aronson, I think, would be interesting. Like, do we go with our strengths, which is we're so much better when we're on the move, attack, attack, attack? Or do we, you know, continue on? It'll be interesting to see. But congrats on Team USA making it to the knockout round Saturday against the Netherlands, 9 a.m.
I mean, 9 a.m. is the coverage. I think the game starts at 10.
But by 10 a.m.
Fox is lying. What a surprise. They keep saying 9. They keep saying 9. I've read an article about this. Like, quit lying to us. Tell us when kickoff is.
10 a.m. kick.
Tell me if I'm wrong. I've not watched a lot. But I don't think Team USA has given up a goal that wasn't a penalty kick. Right? Correct. That's pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah. Defense travels.
Was goalie for Arsenal.
He's a backup for Arsenal. Yeah, he doesn't start for us.
So he doesn't start, but like, he's pretty good.
Clearly, he's good. Yeah.
And the Team USA strength right now is the midfield.
Yeah,
the
midfield Adams is playing unbelievable. Outs. Is he a midfielder?
McKinney, Adams, Musa.
Yeah, like, Musa is so all, good,
just
too.
Really
yeah.
playing
we got some
well.
Athletes. They're very little
what
guys.
We're missing we're missing that striker, right? Who is that number seven up top that you're like, oh, shit. Somebody look out for that dude. Who's our Mbappe?
Right, Pulisic is good, but he's not at that level.
He's,
yeah, his goal, that was
he's
a great goal. I felt bad for him. Oh. He has, what a dream. You score a goal in the World Cup as the team's best player.
Then you got to go to the hospital.
And you fucking get kneed in the groin, more or less, and you play a few more, but you can't celebrate. Like, to me, that's the fun of scoring is a celebration. And he was almost unconscious in pain.
He will be ready for Saturday. He'll be here to play. So it'll be exciting. And it's exciting when, you know, a sport that we say as a country we don't care about, and I'm lumping myself in weak because I am American. But then when the World Cup comes, all of a sudden it's, oh, you know, all the noise starts happening. So it is interesting dynamic to watch.
Yeah, I'll finish with this. It's we've made a number of knockout rounds when we've made the World Cup. And I don't really love our National Federation for Soccer. I have a whole bunch of opinions on that. I will say this, so I'm very sad for Mexico. They had made 7 in a row supposedly the kind of country that people like the Trumpers say they are. Pretty amazing they can do it. And they almost got there yesterday. They needed a miracle and almost got it.
They did.
Yeah, I root for them. There's a documentary about the Mexico-USA rivalry. I've not seen it, but I heard it's really good.
Oh, yeah, that's a soccer rivalry. And get ready, because World Cup will be here in 2026. They'll play games in Dallas. They'll play games in L.A. They'll play games up here in New York. Well, New Jersey probably over at MetLife, but right across the river. It'll be exciting to see. Belgium, by the way, tied today, so they will not.
No way, Belgium's out. Belgium's out. So Croatia moved on. Sweet.
Yes. Listen, the golden generation of Team Belgium didn't really end with anything besides a third place World Cup finish. Listen, it's hard. Winning these kinds of tournaments, like it's fucking, you're not playing best out of set. This is hard shit to win. You need some luck. You gotta. Sometimes shit doesn't work your way. You know,
amazing.
What it is. All right, guys, have a great weekend, and we will see you all on Monday. Take care.